That should, she said, as long as it stays like in here, that should be, that okay. Should be sufficient.
It should be recorded.
Okay, so we're going to get started. This is Wendell Rice with the Brooklyn Historical Society. Today is
February 9th.
I'm sorry. This is February the 9th, 2008, and I am here at Restoration Plaza with Thomas Keller for the Bed-Stuy Restoration Corporation 40th anniversary oral history project. I will begin by asking Tom, I'd like to have you to introduce yourself.
My name is Thomas B. Keller. I reside at 572 East 7th Street, Brooklyn, New York. I've lived in Bedford-Stuyvesant since 1948.
Been here a long time, Tom. It's good. Tom, I'd like to ask you, what is your connection to restoration like today?
Extremely good. I love restoration. I started out with restoration when restoration was first formed. Bed-Stuy Restoration Corporation was formed in 1967, and I was employed in 1967 as a field supervisor in its first ongoing effort, which was the Home Improvement Program. And I was later promoted to Vice President and General Manager of the Bed-Stuy Restoration Construction Corporation, a wholly owned subsidiary of the Bedford-Stuyvesant Restoration Corporation. I was involved in the restoration of the main headquarters, built the Pathmark Supermarket, the Billie Holiday Theater, in all of Bed-Stuy Restoration Corporation's housing programs.
Comparing to how you saw restoration during that period in history, what is Bed-Stuy like today?
To me, it's a significant, vibrant organization. As I recall, there were a number of community development corporations that were founded and created during the 60s, the latter part of the 60s and early 70s. Today, here in Brooklyn, the only one existing is the Bed-Stuy Restoration Corporation, and its delivery of services to community seems to be as vibrant as ever to me.
You would still say that it's still sort of the umbrella agency for Brooklyn. So pretty much the umbrella agency for Central Brooklyn.
I would say it is the significant umbrella organization in Brooklyn. It has so much history that's alive and meaningful to the residents of the Bed-Stuy area, as well as the whole city of New York, for that matter. That's me.
Go ahead. Okay, how has restoration affected the community, locally, maybe nationally?
Very positive. As I just said, restoration is a recognized name all over the United States. It's one of the existing viable CDC corporations in the United States.
Has the need for restoration changed, grown, or remained the same? How would you...
I would say it's diminished in some of its delivery of services because there's been so much impact with the economy and the growth of jobs available to minorities, other positions. Our governmental officials have done wonderful in that regard, as well as restoration. And
how does this role differ from the previous role? Has the community changed?
The community has changed significantly in a growth pattern that would diminish the services which restoration was created for initially. However, restoration has adjusted its services to meet the needs of the community now.
I would say yes. I agree. Tom, where did you grow up?
Partially in Toledo, Ohio, where I was born, and I went in the Army at an early age, 14 years old. So I grew up in the Army, and then I came to New York City, and I lived in Brooklyn, like I said, from 1948.
Wow.
I mean, like a nomad, but I grew up, really, the significant growth for me was at Restoration, when I joined Restoration in 1967.
What did you used to hear about Bed-Stuy?
Bedford-Stuyvesant itself, not the corporation. It was an area of Brooklyn that was in flux, in need of the services that Restoration Corporation brought to it, amongst other organizations that were created at the same time. But as I had indicated earlier, Restoration stood out. I can recall we used to really walk around with our chests stuck out and our heads high in delivering services that would impact the community, and they did. And proof of us today is by the viability that we see in housing, job creation, et cetera. Mostly all of the management people that I was associated with in Restoration went on to form their own companies and deliver services that were significant in the business community.
I would agree. I think perhaps maybe you might have answered the next question I had in mind to ask you. Like, when did you come to live, work in Bed-Stuy?
That I have answered, I believe, yeah.
And I think you also described Bed-Stuy at the time, at that time when you came to Bed-Stuy, like what the housing, everyday life, and people in the community, local businesses, schools, churches, political activity. And then you was during that time, you like helped. Right. You was gonna put it together, help build it. I think
my recollection of the growth of Bed-Stuy, I think that the Bed-Stuy Restoration Corporation had a very, very significant role in that growth, and not only of Bed-Stuy but all of Brooklyn, for that matter. And the leadership was dynamic here. Franklin Thomas, John Doerr, the Kennedy people, Jim Shipp, Jim Pickman, all these were people at the management level. George Glee, Charlie Innes, Bernard McDonald, all these people played a very intricate role in bringing about transformation within the Bedford-Stuyvesant community, but the whole of Brooklyn, not just Bed-Stuy. And today, you can go anywhere in the city of New York, and you'll meet people that know about Bed-Stuy from the beginning until its present status, which is very good. There's always a positive ring to Bed-Stuy and the people that you talk to about Bed-Stuy. Naturally, there's some people that say, oh, I don't know, or I don't care. But anybody that is very historically inclinated, they will know that Bed-Stuy was significant and has been significant in the lives of its community as well as those outside of it.
Tom, this one is important to you as well as me, because I know how I got involved with Restoration, but you was like a step ahead of me. You know, when I was a trainee, you was an instructor.
Right.
So how did you get involved with Restoration?
Through a gentleman named Lester Matthews in Everett Jennings. I was working with the city in a program for housing, minor housing repairs. And Lester Matthews was chosen to run the Restoration Corporation Home Improvement Program, which was the first physical in he brought along with him some of the people that were working with him. And I was working with him, and he brought me along as a field supervisor. He was the director of the program, and he brought me along as a field supervisor. I guess he saw that I had some talents that would be useful, and that started my journey with Bed-Stuy. I was here for 13 years.
So then, therefore, the key people in the organization, Lester Matthews, and one of those key people, they had
to be. He was at that particular time, Everett Jennings, but then it went on as I named the other people, you know, Jim Shipp, Jim Pickman. But the catalyst, I believe the most significant person at that time was Franklin Thomas. I have so much respect for the man. He's one of the most brilliant people that I've ever met in my life, but a caring man. In the 10 plus years that he's spent at Restoration, he gave all of us the direction and to be proud, and to work hard, and to seek advice and counsel. He gave so much of himself, energy as well as intelligence.
Other key partners, for instance, funders, government, elected officials, how do you saw them during that time? Who were?
All of the elected officials, Al Vann was a participant from the beginning. He was a board member. He started out as a school teacher, and then he went on to be elected official in Albany, and he made, I mean, significant, great contributions to Bedford-Stuyvesant, as well as Brooklyn as a whole. He is one of the outstanding government officials that I've met. And I know practically all that have passed through Bed-Stuy or the surrounding areas.
This next question is a question that, and I shared in this, so, and I know you are familiar with what happened, but I just want to hear your views on it, because some people would say that Restoration really never had to really struggle. I mean, we just had it so good back in the days, but that wasn't.
That's untrue.
That's not true. Since it's not true, the question I'd like to ask you is, did Restoration ever had any struggles or difficulties, financial, political, with community involvement?
I would say that from about 1978, when government funding was cut to the nth degree, the Republicans that brought that about, and the same gentleman that was Secretary of Secretary of Defense, Rumsfeld, he was with the administration that cut back the funding for all the CDCs. He was the secretary of that department at the time. I remember that so vividly, and Restoration struggled from about maybe 1978 until presently, really. It's now not being sustained with government funding, but some of its own endeavors, its businesses, its housing efforts, etc. And that's where it's most of its funding or its economic base is now, within itself. And I don't know, because I'm not intricately involved in the operation, but I would say that the funding is not of any level that sustains the whole organization, that it's through their own efforts that they are now viable.
I think you answered that quite well. I would agree. I don't know, what were some of the most important programs Restoration instituted? So I know that you and I are different. I mean, I was using the construction, and I was in the social,
I'm getting ready to say, I think both efforts, what sustained restoration, its social outreach as well as its physical outreach. I think those two, and its economic outreach, those three areas was what really was the moving force behind the genesis and the moving force behind restoration, and which kept it viable to this day. Those three elements, and it still delivers those services. Take your weatherization program. You're uplifting the life of someone when you're providing them a home where they can feel comfortable in, when you provide boiler services, window services. So, because winter is one of the worst parts of the year. And if you're in a freezing house, you can't really be sociable because you're irritable. So all these impact every element and every facet of your life. So,
and you certainly had a lot to do with the weatherization program, because if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be sitting here where I am today.
Right.
And you taught me the ropes. And
yeah, I helped to write the program.
Yeah, yeah. You wrote the program.
To bring it into being.
You brought it into the community. That's
right.
A great accomplishment. And you're still doing a fantastic job.
Fantastic job. As a matter of fact, I'm involved in a housing program next to a building over on St. John's. The number of our prospective building, we're building 144 senior housing apartments. And next door to that, weatherization is doing a program for Dovey Sperling. His building.
Dovey Sperling, yeah.
His building is adjacent to ours.
Right.
His building is adjacent to ours.
We're weatherizing
that building.
Yeah.
Here, we're building a new building, and you're weatherizing a building next door to us.
That's great. You know, I'm interviewing you, so I feel that if I want to change a few things here, I don't change a few things, because there's some things that I just have in me, and I feel full of fervor. I'm interviewing you, and we go back so far with restoration in this community. But there's a question, it doesn't bother me, but some people feel it happened, and some people feel it did not happen, but I know in my heart that it happened, because restoration interviewed 3,500 people in this community and asked them, it's a 14-page questionnaire, asking them what changes, what they'd like to see take place in this community, and what were some of the problems. And I remember those questionnaires, and I remember interviewing those people back about 40 years ago. And they wanted better places to eat. They wanted better schools. They wanted better places to shop for food. And they wanted change. And this corporation, which is Restoration, you know, at that time reached its goals, as far as I'm concerned, you know. And you, I'll let you talk, because you have to build it. We didn't have a supermarket, a path mark. So I'm going to let you carry on.
I agree with you, Wendell, to the dynamics of saying that without restoration, the Bed-Stuy we see today would not have existed. That's why I say Franklin Thomas was like a genius, the way he ran the corporation and put us all in gear to do good things. There's so many of us that now are in business that wouldn't be there if it wasn't for Bed-Stuy Restoration. I know I wouldn't be. You know, I started to say early on, restoration has been around for 41 years. And as I said earlier, there's no CDC. I don't think exists now. And the delivery of services, if you walk down Fulton Street now and you looked at a picture of 40 years ago, significantly different, you know, monumentally different.
I agree.
And all over, the housing that was created by restoration, it stands, quality housing, still exists. And it wouldn't be here, it wasn't. restoration to get ready to create more housing on this Fulton Strip down at Albany Avenue. And that's going to be a really tremendous effort.
It's interesting to see how some of our projects still exist today and stayed intact and look so new. And for instance, I know you was involved and you remember those many mornings because we had visitors coming here from all over the country, all over the world as a matter of fact. People came as far from Germany to look at the super block.
That's right.
And,
I was involved in the super block. That's absolutely correct. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I cut my teeth on the super block. And this called Site 66, the project behind restoration, that 138 units of housing there.
Which I'm weatherizing right now.
Yeah, I saw that. And there's a Green Avenue housing, senior housing down on Green Avenue. That's a two building with a bridge combined for senior citizens, section 202 housing, 150 units. I tell you, we could go on and on about restoration. It's housing efforts and it's economic efforts, how we put businesses into being. And God bless the dear George Glee, was the vice president in charge of economic development. Done a wonderful job. Sure. He and Al Van created the Vanguard Corporation, which is delivering services similar to restoration.
What do you feel is restoration's most important role and legacy, and the most important accomplishment in the time that you have been part of restoration? We might have touched base on some of
this. I think we've answered it. It's housing efforts. It's social efforts, it's weatherization program, which is ongoing, since 1979, and it still exists. And it's like a for-profit center rather than a not-for-profit center. Not only does it create these restoration of housing and the maintenance of housing, but it also creates dollars to be used for other areas. Not only just to employ people to do the work, but those dollars are put into good use. I can't say enough good things about restoration.
So some people might not have noticed, and I know I was told to let you do all the talking, but I knew doggone well that was going to be very complicated for me to interview you, and you do all the talking, and I don't talk.
So, listen, we should talk.
Based on what you and I went through.
We've seen so many things, Wendell, and been involved in so many things in this community to help its growth, to bring about some of the impacting instruments and elements. And we can feel very proud of restoration and what we've done and contributed to that overall effort.
Right. And based on everything that you've said this morning, Tom, there's been a great change, drastic change in terms of the culture in this community, social change in this community, because I see a totally different Bed-Stuy. Bedford-Stuyvesant, because in 1960-61, when I came to New York, you didn't have art. Teddy Gunn didn't exist. You go in somebody's house, you see a picture of the Brooklyn Bridge. That's about all the art you would see in Bed-Stuy, in people's homes. And then restoration got involved, and through the help of Charlie Ennis brought Ted Gunn in. Ted Gunn brought artists. The artists was around in the community, but they were like hidden in the closet. They had no place to exhibit their artwork. And that was a major change in the people in this community. And of course, we cannot forget the Billie Holiday Theater. The night they had the grand opening, and then you got a theater that seats 218 people. You can come right in your own community and look at a live play. And you have
You know, I built the Billie Holiday Theater. I remember waiting, and Frank Thomas was saying we were trying to open it, and I couldn't get the seats because the seats were coming from California. So he kept saying, we didn't get no seats so we can open the theater. I said, in a week, you know, and I'm waiting for the vendor to ship. But, you know, I see the Billie Holiday Theater still here, vibrant as ever. And no one ever thought that you could have a community theater like that that would exist for 40 years practically. And it's still delivering good plays, and everybody knows about it, and they come here. You know, I think about, and as I was thinking this morning, you know, the Kennedy family made a tremendous contribution, and they're still involved. That, to me, is significant, as well as the existence of restoration, to have the status that it has in this community and throughout the United States. It's still recognized. The Kennedys are still involved. You know, the children and the grandchildren are now part of the ongoing effort, and they do make a contribution. It's not that they're standing on the sidelines or just giving their name. They do contribute, and I think the anniversary celebrations prove that there's tremendous turnouts, and people of all walks of life come. The art world, the social world, the financial world, across the board. So we have seen it, and I'm extremely proud to have been involved with Bed-Stuy Restoration Corporation. I wouldn't be the businessman I am today without that training and the things that I was exposed to at Restoration. It molded my life, it gave me direction. I wouldn't have built all the housing that I built and other commercial stuff that I built without that training, without that help, without the background of restoration. And I can only sum it up in one word. I love Bed-Stuy. I love restoration more.
You know, restoration really, and I'm here every day, it looks like a little city. I mean, if you look at the people, the interaction of people here on a daily basis, coming and going, you know, and no one can say in this community that they don't know Bed-Stuy Restoration Corporation this today. They do know restoration exists.
They can't say anything negative. You know, like I said earlier, if they say something negative, they're just negative people. Restoration has been an entity that was needed and is still here today and is still doing the same thing it did 40 years ago, helping to create a better life for the individuals of this community and the city at large.
And I see that the Food Town Restaurant, and you tell me how you feel about it, Food Town Restaurant and the Applebee's Restaurant downstairs is really, really just putting the icing on the cake, to bring in that mix, you know, because there's no decent restaurants where you can go in and sit down and have a meal right here in Bed-Stuy. But now, since we have Applebee's, you have people of all ethnicity can come here and sit down. And I've seen it, I'm here every day. And you have people of all backgrounds coming, sitting and eating and shopping in the food.
Tell you what, I was there eating yesterday with the owner of the project that I'm doing, that I just spoke about, the 144 senior citizens apartments. And we had started to go downtown to the hotel, the Marriott. And the traffic got heavy, and the owner that I was meeting with, Cable Spence, said, well, I've got another meeting on another project with Maurice Reed, which runs the Brownsville Multifamily Health Center, which I built, and the architect that's working on our project. He said, well, let's go to Applebee's. He said, I was there last week, and he said, I'm so glad that Restoration brought in Applebee's. And I said, I turned around in the car, we came to Applebee's, we had a good meal, beautiful surroundings, and as you said, the mix of people in there, you know, of all ethnicities. And we had a good meal, we left, he got this other appointment on time. Yes, I agree with you. Applebee's, Foodtown replaced Pathmark, and you've got, what is it, CVS, or what's the other drug? Dwayne Reed replaced the Pathmark pharmacy, et cetera. So Foodtown is a more upscale than Pathmark.
Right.
It's an upscale supermarket chain. So that's better. The price may be a little higher. But also, the living of people in Bed-Stuy has now been upward so that they could shop there, you know?
Tom, we're going to just
let's try to
pause for 1 minute.
There you go.
So, Tom, I think we've answered all the questions that was proposed for me to ask you, and in conclusion, I'm moving on with life these days, and you are, but I tell most people I don't plan to stop working. I plan to keep on working. It's healthy for you, and I really like restoration. I enjoy working at restoration. I enjoy working in this community. And as you still work in the community, in, you know, is there anything that you like to see happen, you know, in with restoration or in the community than what's happening right now? Because I see sometimes it looks like things are moving slow. But look at the housing market is moving very rapidly, and I also envision business, you know, even though times are economically is kind of a rough, but it's not going to stay there forever, but I see just great change in this community as well as other communities, but I see more change in Bed-Stuy because I'm here and I travel around here every day. But,
one of the things, excuse me for cutting you off, you mentioned that Bed-Stuy. I would like to see Bed-Stuy continue to be a viable institution, and it is an institution in this community, but also in the city of New York. I think one thing that it didn't do, and perhaps it may not be too late, is to get more involved in the housing effort where you generate a lot of money, and that is through tax credit jobs and the syndication of those type of projects. It generates a lot of money plus ownership, and it should go out and acquire as much land left because everybody's been building, as you just said, and I'm building and I'm looking for land now to develop, and I'm doing some things for a couple of organizations, the Federation of Multicultural Programs, which is a program that delivers services for the mentally retarded, which is funded by the state of New York. And also, I'm more heavily involved in building senior housing. For the last 15 years, I've built maybe about 800 units of housing for the elderly, in addition to other housing efforts that I've been involved in. But I think restoration needs to get involved in areas that's not only going to help the community, but that will help its existence economically and can continue to build a strong physical base. And it's involved in politics peripherally, which is good, because you need the politicians to push certain buttons that helps to create funding for certain things that are needed for aging, etc., and youth programs. I think there ought to be a heavy emphasis on creating youth programs that are going to let the youth understand that they do have a responsibility to their community. And they can't get that standing on the corner. They have to get that through education and exposure to work situations and work programs that's going to lead to college, and that's going to lead to involvement in social efforts that are going to perpetuate good social efforts as well as the other areas that we...
Otherwise, every youngster can't or will not go to college, but there's so many other training programs that and services that we need in this community, like need good plumbers, need good electricians,
That's right.
Boiler mechanics,
That's right.
And I could go on and on, and they could, and more young people should think about going into their own business.
That's correct. And right now with the technology of today, it's easy for one to start a business. You know, the internet is available for a million things. I'm computer illiterate, but I watch my grandson. My grandson is now in college in Florida, in Miami, Florida International University. He's studying construction management. He wants to follow his grandfather, and his father's pretty handy with his hands. And I've already created a mechanism for him to come into the company. And he's part stockholder already. And upon his graduation, he can become actively involved in the company.
Well, that's the way you
That's what happens. My 40 years ago in restoration gave me that vision. And when my grandson was born, I said, hey, I'd like for him to be in this business. He started following me and his father around at a young age. And now he's involved in it.
That's right.
That's good. See, that's the perpetuation of our society. And he's, and I, you know, and I talk to him all the time, and he communicates with me. He even recreated and redesigned my corporate brochure, the corporate business cards, and I was surprised at the design criteria and everything that he utilized, and now we have a wonderful brochure. I thought it was good before when I created it, maybe 10, 12 years ago, and he just did this within the last 2 months, and it's fantastic. And
you know,
those are the things that we want
right.
to see.
You know, I want to say one more thing before we close, and that is that I know that you are continuing to build houses for people, assisted living, put it that way.
That's correct.
Yeah, you're building the building right now, St. John's St. John's
Kingston.
In Kingston, 168 families, I believe.
144.
For assisted living. And I think that on the other side of the spectrum, Colvin Granum is also building houses, but he wants to build houses for middle-income people, which there's a need, because we have a lot of housing in this community for, say, subsidized housing.
Right.
But you have another segment of the population now who are moving into Bed-Stuy and who perhaps don't qualify for subsidized housing, and they need housing on another level, like more middle-income housing.
Right.
And I think that's where Colvin has that mindset, which is not a bad idea.
That's what I was talking about earlier. You see, the restoration ought to get involved in being a developer for that type of housing. And where you can have condominiums, co-ops,
right,
and tax credit situations. These generate income for restoration, but it also gives a delivery of needed services, not only to the subsidized, but to the middle income, because you have to have a good mix of the community. And that's the way it grows, because the more people that are healthy, both mentally and economically, the more they can help, and it feeds off to the other people. The other people feed off of that that's needed. We have to get to the youth and continue to get to the youth and understand their needs as well, though, so that you can give them the right mindset so that we can perpetuate the good things that we've brought along with us and go beyond that. You know, we don't know what tomorrow's like, but we have to make tomorrow. We have to have vision so that we can shape it and create the good things that are viable and help all of us to be energized and to be good human beings.
Well, I'd just like to say, in closing, Tom, that we have to get more Tom Keller construction companies in this community.
And more window rises to build weatherization the way he did, because when it first started, when you and I were down in that basement over that restoration headquarters, it wasn't anything. We were doing just a few houses. But look what you've done now.
Yeah, well, we started with them.
We're not tooting each other's horn. These are real things. Real things.
We both came, you and with your business, you came a long ways, and certainly with weatherization. You know, weatherization, when you was the director of weatherization, it was a stone winner. We only mostly stone winners.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. But look what you do now.
And we started out with about $300,000.
Yeah.
From a $300,000 program to like about a $4 million program.
Yeah.
And that's a great accomplishment.
Sure is. You know what? One of the things I look at too, you know, and we talk about youth now. My daughter was raised through the very beginning of restoration in the vibrant times, you know, that the government funding, and we were doing so much, you know, very vivid in the community, our involvement. I'm very proud. My daughter's now a principal, a school teacher, but she's a principal now. And her mother and I, you know, made that come about, I believe. And she's a wonderful person, but here she is 37 years old and a principal.
That's great.
So, you know, she had to feed off her mother and I. And incidentally, her mother was the treasurer of restoration. And she went on to work with Frank Thomas. They did a significant study of South Africa before Nelson Mandela. He was in prison at the time. Mm-hmm. And they did a study over there, and she was also the treasurer of that corporation that did that. And it was written up in Congress.
I have to give all thanks to all praises and all thanks to God myself, because looking at where I came from as a kid, I'm proud of I have two kids. I'm proud of my two kids. My daughter, she is, has two masters. She is a master's, an advanced master's. She can be a principal if she wants to be one. Her husband is an assistant principal. And, right here in the community. She didn't leave the community. She's bought a house in Canarsie out there. I think it's Canarsie, either Middle Bates 1 or 2.
Right.
And,
Good area.
My son, he is living in South Jersey.
Okay.
A nice house he bought down there. His wife is the vice president, one of the vice presidents for Wells Fargo. She was at Wachovia.
Okay.
Then she won. The young people, they don't stay one place too long. They don't get married to a job. They move.
They move, right.
So now she's the president, one of the president for Wells Fargo. And my son, he's a financial analyst for HSBC.
All right.
So, you know, we all didn't do too bad.
I'm developing a job, and HSBC is going to be the funding source of it. That's really funny.
So I really, Tom, you know, we don't hardly get a chance to sit down and talk to often during the week that we are all so very busy.
Right.
But I hope that by me interviewing you, we had a chance to talk about restoration beginning up until this particular Saturday morning. And I hope the people who is going to listen to our conversation, this interview, will get something out of it.
I certainly hope
this
so.
This is certainly the way you saw it for the last 41 years.
Yep.
And I don't know if I was supposed to say as much as I've said, but ain't no way in hell I can sit here with you and don't say nothing.
No, not as many times as we
have. But I ask you
fighting, doing things out here for the community.
I can see somebody who don't never seen you in their life, they would went down this list and ask you question, but that wasn't going to happen here this morning with you and I. So
no.
I think to me it was a very good interview.
Anytime
it.
Anytime I can make a contribution to restoration or Bed-Stuy, I'm going to do it. And I love you, man. I got to leave.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you very much, Tom.
Thank you. All right.
A pleasure. Yeah.